Now, I don't mean to start off by ticking off all the ladies, but just give me a couple of minutes, ladies, and let me go on a tangent, and I ask for apology or your forgiveness in advance. So you know what time of year it is. In the Jackson household, since probably October, I mean, it really started in July. They did Christmas in July, but Tracy likes this one station. And she started watching it more in October. And I'm like, baby, it's football season. It's not Christmas time. And Tracy wanted to watch it. And my problem with this station is when you've seen one of their movies, you've seen every one of their movies. I mean, you have this beautiful girl who's in love with this jerk. And finally, the dude in the Levi's shows up who likes working with gardens and flowers, and he steals her away. That is the entire Hallmark Channel. So I'm sorry, I wasn't supposed to say it. If you've seen one movie, you've seen all of them. But you cannot tell my wife that but we haven't seen this one. I was like, but we know the storyline. Needless to say, now some of you ladies are hyperventilating on me. Needless to say, not every family is a Hallmark family. And I get that. What do you do when you're in a rough situation? What do you do when your job, where you work, and you got too many years in, just to quit? And you're too close to retirement just to walk away? What do you do about that situation? These impossible scenarios where you feel like this is unjust, this is unethical, this is not right, and yet if I say anything, there's going to be retribution. I'm glad she didn't hear that first part. There's going to be retribution for me. What do you do? We come to Psalm 11. And Psalm 11 is written by King David. He's married to King Saul's daughter, Michal. And this was not a Hallmark family Christmas, if you will. There was strife, there was turmoil. You remember Saul was very jealous of David. And there was a time Saul took the javelin and hurled it at young David. Don't you know that Michal, she was in a twix between having to make her daddy happy and to make her husband happy. Which one are you going to please? Because they both are not liking each other. It was not a Hallmark fairy tale Christmas. What do you do? Well, David had friends, if you look at verses 1 and 2. And David's friend said, flee like a bird. Just run away and run away fast. And a lot of times, that's the way we are. Well, those first two verses talk about his enemies. They had their bow and arrow. They had a focused on him. They knew where he was and they were just ready to take him down. His enemy said, you run, flee fast. And a lot of times in difficult situations, that's our thought. A different location is the solution. I'm here to say this morning, we learn from Psalm 11 the answer to our problems. The answer to these unhealthy scenarios, whatever it is, if it's your job or if it's your family situation or even if it's a government situation, the answer is focusing on God Almighty rather than the faces of the people in your situation. That's what David says to his friends. And although this was written some 3,000 or 4,000 years ago, it is very applicable to us today. So this morning, four truths to bring confidence in the most chaotic of times. Sermon I'm entitling, God and World Affairs. First truth I want you to see, notice our awe-inspiring God. Look at verse 4. The Lord is in His holy temple. Lord is all caps. The Lord, so He's talking about Jehovah God. The Lord's throne is in heaven. So at first, it doesn't sound all that comforting and encouraging. Great. God's in heaven, far, far away. How does that help me? David isn't singing about God being far removed. David is singing about God being divine and forever. And in chaotic times, whether it's a chaotic family situation or a chaotic job situation or whatever it is, we can focus on the chaos and we can worry. And we can just hit replay and replay and replay and replay and we'll get sick in our stomach. It does no good to worry. Or we can focus on our God in heaven. He's in His holy temple. It says His throne is in heaven. He's not talking about Solomon's temple. He's not talking about Herod's magnificent temple. Neither one of them have been built. He's talking about the temple in heaven. You say, what's the big deal about that? It's showing God's sovereignty. So in the non-Hallmark situations of life, how do you handle it? You can run away. That's what David's friends were saying. Just flee like a bird to the mountains. Just run and run, run for us, run. David says, no. Focus on the all-powerful God. Focus on the supreme God. Focus on the sovereign God who allowed you to be in this situation. The reason you're in this situation is so that you will depend upon Him. See, your focus is going to determine your outlook. What are you going to focus on? How bad that employer is? Or how great your God is? See, whatever you're focused on, it's going to determine your outlook. And, oh, it's so bad. It's so awful. It's so horrible. If you're focused on your circumstances. But if you're focused on the capital L-O-R-D, is in His holy temple. You see, Saul would eventually vacate his throne. God would never vacate his throne. Hey, God can't be counted on. God is dependable. Hey, the sun may not come up tomorrow, but God's on the throne and we can trust Him in chaotic times. Focus on our all-sufficient God who is all-inspiring. Tracy and I this week, we were somewhere and we were going to meet someone that we'd never met before that I have admired from afar. So I told my buddies, I was like, hey, see if you can get us close to this dude who's on TV all the time. And I was like, I want to get a picture with this dude. He's really smart. I was like, I want to get a picture with this dude. They let me down. I didn't get close to him, and I definitely didn't get a picture with him. Hey, we'll see it in a second. You can get close to God. And God wants you to be depending upon Him for everything. Number one, our awe-inspiring God. Number two, our attentive God. Look at verse 4, last part of it. Lord's in His holy temple. His throne is in heaven. It says, His eyes behold, His eyelids try the children of men. The foundations, you look at verse 3, are crumbling. So when the foundations are destroyed, what shall the righteous do? Remember where God is. Remember that God is beholding. You say, nobody understands what I'm going through. Hold on a second. Oh, yes, God does. Remember the old song? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. Yeah, see, nobody understands. God understands. His eyes, this says, his eyes behold. It's referring to squinting. The reason I wear glasses? Because I can't see. And when I'm reading, I gotta squint. Now this verse is what it's talking about. God is not observing the whole world. God is squinting just to observe you. That makes me happy in a world that's crumbling. In family situations, in vocation situations where it just seems it's not fair. It just seems it's not just. It seems it's not right. There is a God on the throne in heaven. Hallelujah. And not only does he know what's going on earth, his eyes are focused. His eyes are like laser beam. He's squinting. Remember the Ray Stevens songs? His eyes, they're watching you. They're all over you. That's probably not a good example. But bringing Ray Stevens into the pulpit. Hey, his eyes, they behold. Look what it says. They try. They're observing. You say, it's not fair. You don't know my boss. Here his eyes are evaluating. He doesn't miss a thing. I don't know what you were like in elementary school. But when the teacher would go out of the room, if you were one of those perfect kids who never acted up, you just stood there or sat there and did your little homework. That was not always me. I mean, those kids have been sitting there for a long time, and they needed some comedy relief. And so, more often than not, I would be the comic that would do something to get everybody laughing. Get them to enjoy life a little bit. Like, we're only going to be in fifth grade a couple years. We better enjoy it. And there would always be somebody that would rat me out. I'm like, man, those girls. What's this? His eyes always try. When you say, nobody's calling them to, yep, God sees it. God's not missing a thing. He tries the children of men. Verse 5, the Lord tries the righteous, but the wicked and him that love violence, his soul hateth. I was at the doctor the other day. And the doctor asked me how I was feeling. I was like, doctor, I feel great. So he said, good, we're going to do an EKG. And I'm like, did you not hear what I said? I was like, they just did my blood pressure. She said my blood pressure was great. I was like, I feel great. I was like, why do we need to do an EKG? He said, because you blow smoke sometimes. We got to know what's going on the inside. I said, you think I'm blowing smoke? He said, yeah. So we did the EKG. And it was still great. But the Lord tries the righteous. There are tough times for the righteous folk. There are purifying times for the righteous folk. Not because he doesn't love you, but because he loves you. He tries you. Proverbs 15, verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and beholding the good. I love that verse. In times of injustice, when the foundations are crumbling around us, what do the righteous do? Remember, God is on his throne. Remember his eyes. They're watching you. Number 3. This is not my politically correct point, but often I'm not politically correct. Our awe-inspiring God, our attentive God. Number 3. Our angry God. Look at verse 5. The Lord tries the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Now that's a strong phrase. Many people want to water down the wrath of God. Some will say, well, God hates sin, but he loves the sinner. That is true. And that is false. David says God hates the sinner, the worker of violence. He hates the sin. So understand it. Does God love the sinner or does he hate the sinner? Both. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 5:8, but God commends his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So he loves sinners. But those people that do wrong, those people that do wicked, that we say, they're just getting by with it. I would say, no, they're not. Psalm 5:5. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. James 4:4. Whosoever is a friend of the world is the enemy of God. David's reminding the reader, there's a payday coming. See, you can't have it both ways. You can't say, hey, God is pure and righteous and holy and loving and merciful without being pure, righteous, and holy, without judging sin. And because he judges sin, he has to judge the sinner. So God isn't going to send sins to hell. He sends sinners to hell. Embezzlement, lying, lust, greed, adultery will not go to hell forever. But unrepentant embezzlers, unrepentant liars, unrepentant adulterers, unrepentant immoral people will go to hell forever. Because our God is good and because our God is pure. So you say, well, this person is just wicked and evil and they're getting by with it and there's nothing I can do. Can I tell you? Yeah, you can. Don't focus on them. Focus on God Almighty. Because God hates sin. And if they don't repent, God will judge them of their sin. There is a payday coming and God is not going to miss it. Look at verse 6. You say, how much does God hate the sin? Look at verse 6. Upon the wicked, he shall rain snares. So David in this verse uses three descriptions to describe God's judgment upon the wicked. It says, he shall rain. You've heard the phrase, it's going to rain cats and dogs. Well, this doesn't say it's going to rain cats and dogs. It says it's going to rain snares. Carries the idea of a trap. One scholar put it, God's throwing down a noose from heaven. Tracy and I, we had two Christmas parties to go to last night. So we left and we went to the senior citizens Christmas party. Well, Hayden says, Dad, I'm going to go hunting with his bow and arrow. Well, I'm like, well, he'll never hit it. He's going to deer hunt. He'll never get the deer. I was like, okay, you have a good time. So we are in the first Christmas party, and he texts his mom, and he says, I got it. And his mom says, you got what? He says, I got the deer. And she says, what are you going to do now? He says, that's why I'm calling you. And I'm dressed nice. I'm like, I cannot go and fix a deer. I could go fix a deer, but I didn't dress nice. I was like, hey, wait. So thank God for good neighbors that help out 15-year-olds. That look what this verse says. He shall rain snares from heaven. So you say, oh, you don't know my pulse. Are these government people, they're wicked? Or some of you are in marriages. And you just say, I keep my head down. But my marriage is awful, and there's nothing I can do. Yeah. Remember, there's a God in heaven. Remember, he's watching. He doesn't miss anything. And remember, he judges sin. Just trust him. Rains, snares. Look, it gets worse. Fire and brimstone. Remember Sodom and Gomorrah. Sending burning showers of ignited gas and oil upon unrepentant cities. That's our God. Oh, he's a God of mercy. He's a God of repentance and God of forgiveness. If we'll come and we'll repent. But if we just keep doing wickedness, keep doing wickedness, keep doing wickedness, we will know His judgment. Fire and brimstone, look at the next one. Horrible tempest, that is a burning wind, that is a hurricane, that is a tornado. First global outpouring of God's wrath was the flood. It was because of sin. The wickedness of man was great in the earth. His continual thought was only evil continually. So God destroyed the world with a flood. And we think, oh, He'll never do it again. Oh, yes, He will. So your world is not a Hallmark world. What do I do? My foundations, what I depend upon, what I trust is crumbling. Remember who's in heaven on the throne. Remember He's not missing a thing. Remember He judges sin. And you say, yeah, but not my boss. He's prospering. He's getting by with it. Look at verse 6. Look at the last part of it. This shall be the portion of their cup. Nobody gets away with it. Nobody gets away with it. Justice may be blind. The judge is not. So your boss or your spouse or whoever else that appears, oh, they are crooked, they're unethical, they're immoral. God hates sin. And God judges sin, and God will always judge sin. It's not your job to judge them. It's God's judge. You just focus on who God is and where He is. And remember, He's not missing a thing. Number 3, an angry God. Number 4, and I'll finish. Notice our adoring God. Look at verse 7. For the righteous Lord loves righteousness. The Lord loves righteousness. The Lord takes great delight in righteousness. Tracy and I, we were out of town a couple of days this week. We came in Friday, and one of our church members had gotten us one of those chocolate cakes from the table. You know, it has like 2 million calories. I mean, it's chocolate and then chocolate icing on top of the chocolate. I mean, make your tongue slap your brain. And I came in and I picked up the thing and I just said, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. I took, let's just say, there's none left, but I took great delight, you can see it on me, in that chocolate cake. Now look at the verse. The righteous Lord, the one who cannot be bought off, the one who cannot be bribed, the one who is righteous, who does the right thing every single time. He loves, He takes great pleasure in righteousness. But Pastor, my job is not a Hallmark job. And my marriage is not a Hallmark marriage. And the family situation is not just all of this rosy stuff where we all just love each other. Quite honestly, we don't even like each other and we don't pretend like we do. What do we do in that situation? Don't focus on the situation. Don't focus on the people. Don't focus on the faces. Remember, there's a God in heaven. He's on the throne. He's in charge. You're not. Neither is your boss. Neither is Donald Trump. Or Joe Biden. Or thank God, Kamala Harris. God's in charge. Hey, He's in charge. That means He has the final say. And remember, pardon my grammar, He ain't missing nothing. So you say, oh yeah, He ain't missing nothing. And God always judges sin. And God adores righteousness. So what am I supposed to do in this awful situation? Remember God. Remember His character. Remember what He does. Remember what He loves. He loves righteousness. and you live a righteous life in the power of the Holy Spirit. Look at the last part of the verse. The Lord loves righteousness. And I love the last part of this verse. His countenance beholds the upright. Now you remember, Old Testament, no one could ever see God. Moses was the closest one to ever God. He got to pass by and see his backside. Nobody could ever see God. Hey, in non-Hallmark times, non-perfect times, non-kosher times, remember there is a God. Remember, He misses nothing. Remember, He judges sin. Remember, He loves righteousness. And He reveals Himself to righteous people. He shows His countenance, His face to the righteous. Number 6, verse 24. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 8. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them who know not God, obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. In those tumultuous times, in those difficult times, in those hard times, you can be with Jesus or without Jesus. You seek Him. You run toward Him. He delights in righteousness. I'm going to be righteous amongst unrighteous people. And the Lord will smile. He will make His face to shine upon you. And He will be gracious to you. That's how you handle the non-Hallmark scenarios of your life. And all of us have them. We were flying to Washington, D.C. And I don't like heights. But I've just grown accustomed to flying. I pretend it's a bus. So I don't look out the window. I'm not like floating. Oh, we are 27,000 feet off the ground. I just usually sit on the aisle seat and pretend it's a bus and it's all good. So we're flying. We go into some turbulence. And it wasn't awful, but the plane dropped. I mean, the plane dropped like, I don't know, 20 feet, 50 feet. It just dropped. Now, when I'm riding on buses don't drop. So immediately when the plane dropped, I grabbed both of the armrests and grabbed them. Now, in looking back, that really wasn't the smartest thing to do. I mean, if the plane's going down, those armrests are going to do you no good whatsoever. But I'm falling and I'm grabbing hold of something that's not really going to help me out. Tumultuous times. When the foundations around you that you've grown to rely on are crumbling, how do you make it? You remember there's a God on the throne. Hallelujah. And this God on the throne is missing nothing. This God on the throne, He judges sin. And this God on the throne, He loves righteousness. So, I'm choosing the God on the throne, and I'm rejecting fear, and I'm rejecting worry, and I'm not going to focus on the crumbling situations in my life. I choose to focus on the God that's on the throne. Amen. Let's stand with heads.